Ready? There's a cloud of many witnesses, the Christ in heaven above, watching as we run this race, they cheer us on in love. Their faces we have seen before, and those we've never known. They fought the battle, took our stand, we reap what they have sown. So I'm not ashamed to claim the name of Jesus.
She'll go, well, Pastor Craig says it's just like camp. It's not quite like camp. But they do have a blast. And early mornings.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, I talked to you this afternoon about one of the points of how to learn to forgive.
Yeah.
You can't help but forgive somebody you've already been praying for. You listening? If you are already praying for each other and praying for Ashley, she goes, all right? And you start to make your best friends right here. No matter what they do to you, you love them. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. So Ashley, our prayers go with you.
Yes. Amen.
God bless you. And well done, Pickles. Amen.
Yes! All right. Well, I'm glad we came to camp again. It's been a blessing. I always see God do good things in our church. I've been praying. I knew if I could get some of you to camp that it would just change your life, change your direction. But the key to this whole thing, guys, listen, this is what heaven's like, being happy together. All the junk and the sin and the filth and the trash is out. And God is moving in.
Amen.
That's what heaven's all about. Now, the key to this thing is to win the victory this week and continue on through the rest of the year.
Amen.
You understand that thing? Too many of us do live like Declan was preaching this way. So let's pray that we get through and continue on and faithful. Be faithful. That's what this whole thing is about. It's about being faithful. Man, I heard a great joke yesterday. Rachel, I got to tell it to you. I want to tell you why I believe, and it's not my own, I stole it. I admit I'm a thief, all right? Here it is. Why I believe Cork is the most important county in all of Ireland.
Yes!
Don't tell it. You ready? This is why I believe Cork is the most important county in all of Ireland. Because if you pull it out, the whole island sings! Thank you. You don't get it? I want you to know. Settle down. I want you to see the spiritual typology in the box color. Come on, now.
They don't get it.
I do.
Who gets it? Raise your hand. It's very profound and very prophetic. True blue is good and red army is bad. Amen. All right. Okay, so enough of that stuff. All right. I made it. So, well, you know, we're going to miss you. All right, let's settle down. Let's quit talking and just settle down. I like to just say, Ashley, I am going to miss you.
Amen.
Man, I'm going to miss you. Your pastor's going to miss you. I noticed, my heart was touched when Pastor Lindbergh said, Ashley's going to Bible college. The first one to applaud his sister was Mark. He started clapping. Wait. He started clapping. I said, what a good kid. He loves his family. I'm thinking, no, he's getting a room. I'm so glad that we could bring all the kids down to camp again and let God just speak to them. And you know what? I'd like to say a special thank you to Pastor Ledbetter for organizing camp. God bless you, brother, for the gifts and the talents that God and the ability has given you. I am honest. I could never organize something like this. Declan would say, amen. He could organize it, but I couldn't. So, but that's a blessing. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. I had to tell to stand up twice were named Joel and Joel. Get up! It's your dad and your dad started it. What's the problem there? Man! Something in that. Thank Lincoln. Alright, anyway. Alright. Get else. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 has not much to do with what we've been teaching on the life of Joseph, but this is our starting point for tonight. And that's where we're going to begin tonight, in Romans chapter 5. I want you to see something. I'm going with an idea, and then we're going to go from there. All right. Romans chapter 5. Let's read God's Word. You listen along as I read. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. The topic and the theme for the day of Friday is that forgiveness is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift. It is something that is not earned. It is something that is given. You can work for forgiveness and work for forgiveness and work for forgiveness. But if the person doesn't want to forgive you, you don't get it. You just don't get it no matter how hard you try. So apparently and clearly, forgiveness truly is a gift. Now let's read a few verses. And I'm going to pause and emphasize a few facts as I read a few verses. Look at verse number 14. Romans chapter 5, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression." Now, who is the figure of him that was to come? Look up here for just a minute, now we'll go back to read. Now, that verse says that, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression." Now what that means is, even people that didn't sin just like Adam sinned, death reigned over them.
That's right, yeah.
What in the world does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. Now don't look it up, just, if you want to write it down, you look it up later. It's 1 Timothy 2:14. Adam's similitude of his style was this. The devil came, he looked at her, she looked at him, he said, "You won't die, you eat the fruit, you'll be as gods," little G-O-D-S. She saw it was good to eat, she said, "Really?" And the preacher devil said, "Yes." She said, "Wonderful, and eat the fruit." But Adam came along, "Hey honey, what's cooking?" Anyway, she says, "Got some fruit for you to eat." He looked at the fruit, he looked at her, he looked at the fruit, he looked at her, and he said, she disobeyed God. But she was deceived, the Bible says. You look that verse up later, I gave you in Timothy. Later, not now. She was deceived. The devil tricked her. She didn't do it on purpose. But the Bible clearly teaches that Adam looked at the fruit and Adam looked at her, and Adam knew exactly what he was doing. He knew it was dead wrong. He knew he was choosing between God and his wife. And he ate the fruit. And he knew what he was doing was wrong. Now that's what that verse means when it says the similitude of Adam. But death is over those who sin. Duh, I didn't know. And death still rules over sin who say, "Man, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway." Now let's keep reading. Verse 15. "But not as the offense, so also," and I'm going to have you fill in the blank, "so also is the," say the next two words.
"Free is.
For if through the offense of one, many be dead." Adam sinned, we're all going to die. Many be dead. "Much more the grace of God." And say the next two words.
"The gift."
"By grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." Now I want to make a statement. The grace of God has abounded to many. But let me say this to you now. But not to all. Not to all. If you're lost, you don't have the grace of God. If you're lost, you don't have the grace of Jesus Christ. If you're not saved. Let me keep reading. Verse 16. "And not as it was by one that sinned," Adam, "so is the," say the next two words, "so is
the gift.
For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the," say the next two words, "is of many offenses unto justification." You sin a lot, but praise God for justification.
Amen.
All right, verse 17. "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all. Because Adam sinned, we're all judged. All to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, say the next three words, the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the one man who died for sin. We're sorry for the one man who willfully and intentionally sinned, who condemned us all to this sinful world in a sense, in a very real sense, as Adam's descendants. Thank God we are all children of Adam and Eve. God, we did not evolve. We praise you for creation. But Lord, we praise you even more for creation. We praise you and thank you and honor you and bless you and glorify you for the great gift of salvation. God, thank you so much. And I'm thankful it's a gift, God. And I pray that you would open the hearts of the people in this room. Help those who are an adult to be listening and in a mindset of prayer. Open the spiritual ears. Open the spiritual eyes and help me to say the right things. For Christ's sake, I ask. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what I wanted you to see is simply this in the verses I just read. That the Bible says in verse 15 that salvation is a free gift. And in verse 15 it says that it's the gift. And in verse 16 it says it is the gift. And in verse 16 it also says it's the free gift. And it also says in verse 17 it's the gift of righteousness. And in verse 18 it says it's the free gift which come upon all men unto justification of life. What I want you to understand is that the greatest forgiveness that ever took place is when Jesus Christ looked down from the portals of glory, down through the stars and the planets and the moon, down through the clouds of the atmosphere, and looked at a small dust ball with a bunch of Adam's and Eve's descendants living on it, and saw they'd ruined it, and saw they sinned, and he looked down and he said, I'm going to forgive them.
Amen.
It's a gift. Amen. It's a gift. Being a Christian, being born again, is a gift. And God gave it to us. Adam knew what he was doing, he sinned. And the greatest forgiveness of all is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ forgave you from your sin. Now, here's the first point I have this evening, is simply this. Number one, you need to receive the gift of forgiveness for salvation. You need to receive the gift of forgiveness for salvation. Now, you heard Brother Ronnie's testimony the other night. Some of you have heard my testimony 4 years ago. Others of you in church have heard a little bit about my testimony. Like Brother Ronnie said, it's not to glorify sin. It's a blinking, warning, flashing light. Hey, the bridge is out. If you keep going, you're going to crash. That's why we tell our testimonies. I would rather have a Mr. Goody Two-Shoes Travis testimony than a that I got behind me.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the pit that God reached down and saved my soul out of. My testimony is not a good testimony. My testimony is a bad testimony. First of all, I was raised in religion. We had religion coming out the nostrils. We were so sick of religion. I prayed on my knees so from my eighth with my grandmother's name was Bridget. The priest looked at my grandma. I used to tiptoe at camp about this religious business. I ain't tiptoeing no more. Okay? I'm done with that business. I used to pray on my knees to those stupid statues with my grandmother to Mary and crosses and rosary beads and all that garbage till my knees ached, and we prayed for everybody in our family. The priest came to my father and said to my father, he said, Mr. Pittman, your mother is more of a Catholic than I am, and the guy was a priest. Go figure that thing out. And so she was a devout woman. And so we had religion in our home. We had a lot of religion in our home. But religion doesn't save.
That's right.
Salvation is a gift. It's not something you do. It's something you believe and receive. It's simple as that. If you can agree with that, you can still say amen.
Amen.
It's all right. It's all right. If you're from my church and you don't say amen, it's a long walk to the train station. Say amen.
Amen.
There you go. All right. I gotta have some sort of support, right? Amen. So there you go. And so we had religion. Amen. That's what it is. And Declan says amen, right, Declan?
Amen.
In the Bible, right, brother?
Amen.
Well, God said what in Nehemiah? Amen. Let all the people say amen is what the Bible says. And so religion didn't clean me up. It just made me look a little bit nice on the outside, but it didn't save my soul.
Amen.
And the problem was this, that all of a sudden, you know, I started running in the world and running in filth. And that's because religion doesn't do anything. It doesn't put a real restraint on your heart. It's the grace of God. It's the abundance and the gift of God that will restrain a person from living a wild and vicious lifestyle. And so my life was a life, a little bit of religion, but then it was a life filled with sin and filth and trash and garbage. Like, just very... if you take Brother Ronnie's story and stick it up north instead of down south, you basically got my lifestyle. And that's what God saved me out of, very much like what you heard the other night. I don't want to glorify sin, but I want you to know when that one day I was sitting in church and God took me and I was just listening to preaching and I sat down with that man. He said, "Would you like to be saved?" I said, "Well, I go to church." He said, "No, would you like to be saved?" "Well, I say prayers with my granny." He said, "No, would you like to get saved?" I said, I looked at that guy. I was strung out on dope. I was partying with my friends, and I looked at him, and I looked at that guy with an ache in my soul, and I looked into his eyes, and I said, "I ain't got nothing left to lose. I've tried everything. I need to get saved."
Amen.
And I sat down with that guy, and he opened the Bible, and you know what he did? He showed me some simple verses from the book of Romans. The Romans Road is what they call it, and guess what? 21 years later, it still ain't gone away.
Yeah.
Praise God. I'm so glad I'm saved. I wouldn't go back to the filth of the world. And I lived like an animal before I was saved. But I am a new creature in Christ. And I thank God for that gift that God has given me. But you know what? You need... the problem is, number one, that some of the kids in here need to receive the gift of forgiveness for the gift of salvation.
Amen.
Some of you young people have learned lots of Bible verses. You've heard lots of preaching. Look up here. Don't make me mad. Lots of Bible verses. Lots of preaching. But you have never, ever, never, ever truly been born again. You've never been saved.
Yeah.
Salvation is a gift. Remember the verses in Romans 5? It says the gift. The gift. The free gift. The free gift unto salvation. The gift, the gift, the gift. God says that being born again is a gift. You need to understand that. And you need to trust Christ and not think that I'm a good little boy, I'm a good little girl, and God loves me in my good little world. Amen. It don't work like that.
Amen.
You have got to get born again because you're a descendant of Adam. That means you were born a sinner. You need to receive the gift of salvation. And when we get done tonight, you've heard all the sermons and stories and lessons. And when we get done tonight, some of you need to stop listening to the devil. Stop being afraid. Stop being bored. Boring. You know what? Hey, listen. People get bored. People get scared. People get angry. But it's all from the devil.
Amen.
So all the devil's got different weapons, different bait for different people. Do you understand that? You need to get saved.
Amen.
It's simple as that. You need to get saved. You need to get the gift of salvation to get all your sins forgiven forever. All right. Also, not only what else do you need to receive the gift of forgiveness for, you also, if you're not... now, that's for lost people. That's for lost people. What you do is when you come here and you participate and you're not saved, you're just playing the religious game, just like I did. All right? Now, stay with me. Number two, you need to receive the gift of forgiveness for a second chance. Now, I'm not talking to lost people. Sit up straight in the back there. You folks, sit up straight. Sit up straight. Okay? Stay awake. Stay with us now. You need to receive the gift of forgiveness for a second chance. Now, what am I talking about tonight? I'm talking about the fact that God is the God of the second chance.
Amen. Amen.
If you know that's true, say amen.
Amen.
God is the God of the second chance. Now, if you're saved, a lot of us have blown it over the times. Now, what does it mean to be that God is the God of second chance? A lot of people, they get, "Amen, I went to camp, amen, I got saved, God saved my soul, God saved me from hell." And by the way, hey, listen to me, you look up here now, listen to me, hell is a real place.
Yes, sir.
Hell is as real as this tent. This is as, people are as real as you, and there's people burning in that place, and yeah, they're not coming back,
right,
and they're not getting out, and you know people in there, and I know people in there, and they're not coming out, and they were good people, and nice people, and lovely people, and bad people, and wicked people, but they're not getting out of hell, and if they could get out of hell, you know what they do? They jump up and say, "You gotta get saved, don't come here!
Amen.
You gotta get saved, stay away! saved person. The person gets saved at camp. They love God. They get excited. Ooh, this is great. This is great. School starts. This is great. This is great. Camp was great. This is great. Ooh, and they start living in the flesh. They start living for the devil. And they start becoming what the Bible calls quitters on Christ, or what I call a quitter on Christ. Now, in the Bible, there's a story about a preacher named Paul. Paul had a couple guys with him going on journeys. They went around preaching the Bible everywhere they went. They'd tell people about Jesus everywhere they went. They had a young fellow with him named John Mark. All of a sudden, this kid started doing this. I want my mama. I want my mama. I want to go home. I hate that preacher. All he does is yell at me. All he does is make my bed in the morning and memorize Bible verses and tell people about Jesus. I've had enough. I want to go home. I'm sick of this guy. He's crazy. And so the kid went home, and the preacher got mad. Paul got in the flesh, man. He got angry. That stinking, stupid quitter kid, he ain't coming on no more trips with me. He's staying home, Barnabas. This kid is useless. I don't want him. But praise God, God is the God of the second chance. Amen. Are you with me now? Hold on, I'm going to drive it home in a few minutes. What I'm saying is, this guy was doing the work of God. He got quitting. He went home. But when Paul is old, towards the end of his life, he tells them in the Bible, hey, listen, remember that kid, John Mark? Send him to me. He's profitable for me in the ministry. Because God gave John Mark a second chance. You ever heard of the book of Mark? Amen. God is the God of the second chance. And it's good to serve the God of the second chance. Now, saved people do quit serving God. But what happens when you have saved people that quit serving God? All of a sudden, this vessel that's the house of the Holy Ghost, the house of the Holy Spirit, it becomes a place that gets dirty and defiled. It's like going to the church building and maybe pouring paint and throwing trash all over the building of the church building. People start putting poison in. They put alcohol in. They allow television in. They allow weed and dope and crack and hash and ecstasy and all this other poison and junk. Now, follow me. I'm talking about saved people. Do you understand?
Yes,
saved people. You say saved people don't do that? Yeah, they do.
Yes,
they do. Yeah. It's true. I need some helpers right now. Sarah, you need to come. Will you help me? Liam, where are you, buddy? I need you right now. Daddy needs you to come fast. All right, Wally.
Wally.
All right, we're in high speed. We're not in low gear this time. All right, man. Okay, what happened? You guys stay over there. All of a sudden, I'm a saved guy. I'm living for God. You know, this is sometimes we know. Now, watch this. You're going to get this part right here, what I'm about to explain to you, because it's very true. We know in our heads if we're saved. Okay, some of you are not saved, but hang on for the ride anyway. We know in our head if we're saved, the Bible's true, and we know in our head if we're truly saved that there's devils and demons everywhere around us. But we don't act and think like they're really there. You understand that thing? Hey, they're just as real as Patrick, they're as real as Michelle, they're as real as Katie, they're as real as Declan. Do you understand that thing? They are real. And so saved people walk around, don't read their Bibles, don't get in love with God, don't follow God. You know what happens to them? All of a sudden, come on up, come on, like you do, come on. All of a sudden, devils start hanging around and whispering in your ears. Say, take a drink, say it. Liam, say it. Say it again. Say it again. Keep saying it. He said, wait a minute, I didn't think saved people could be demon-possessed. Now, let me give you a doctrine. Hold on, we'll get back up there in a minute, Liam. Listen to me. You got a body, and then what do you got? A what?
Soul.
And you got a what?
Spirit.
Your spirit can never be demon-possessed. Ever, never, never, ever, never, ever, never, never, never. But I tell you what, demons can work your body and your soul pretty good. Say amen. If you're from my church, you believe the Bible. Say amen.
Amen.
I've seen saved, lost people do that. Saved people do that. The devil gets up. The demons get on and say, take a drink. Say, take a drink. But you know what? They start drinking. But that doesn't stop there. Then all of a sudden another fellow starts hanging around. Say, do drugs.
Do drugs.
Do drugs. No, I got to do it like this. Do drugs.
Do drugs.
Keep saying, take a drink. Keep saying, don't stop. Keep saying.
Do drugs.
Say it again. Am I saved? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, keep saying it, guys. Now, come on. Hold my hand. Hold my hand. Say, check out pretty girls. Say, lust after pretty girls. He said, take a drink, man. You're killing me. You know why he's falling off? I went to AA. Yeah. All right, now, what am I getting you trying to see? Sit down. You got to sit anywhere you want. Go ahead. What I wanted you to see simply is this. Look, hey, settle down. I'm the only one talking right now besides the do drugs, take a drink, look at pretty girls, guys. All right? Listen up. What I want you to see was that saved people can be attacked by demons and devils, and more so than lost people. Hey, leave the lost guy alone. Look up here. He's already a child of Satan. Don't bother him.
Yeah.
Let's get the Christians. Let's get the Christians. Hey, forget the old fogey Christians down in Alabama that open the Bible once a week and read their daily crumb and listen to J. Vernon McGee on the radio. Let's get the new Christians. Let's get the young saved Christians. Amen. You're the ones they target. Do you understand that thing? They're after you. Hey, listen to me. It's hard when your kids are in the room, man. You don't want to go down the gutter when your own are in the room. But I'm telling you, listen to me. You listen to me, you listen to me, you listen to me now, you listen to me well, you listen to me good. You start stinking, smoking weed, whatever, cannabis, as they say on RTE, cannabis. You start smoking hashish. You start stinking, popping ecstasy.
Yes.
You are opening your channel. Brother Ronnie knows, he's come out of the same gutter. You are opening your mind and your channels to allow demons into your life. You are allowing it. And I am not just preaching, man. I have experientiated such matters. And a lot of lost people have, too, that I know by the hundreds. You are inviting them in. When you give over to lust, when you give over to the beats and the drums and the rock music and the disco and the ecstasy beats and all that stuff, and you give over to drugs and drink, you are opening and making yourself susceptible to a satanic attack in your life. But thank God, if you're saved, God's still the God of the second chance.
Amen.
You can win the victory if you will stop trying to do it in your own strength.
Amen.
I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. Oh, just one last time. I'm not going to do it anymore. No. It's got to be like this. It's like this. God, I'm going to do it again tomorrow. God, you know I'm going to do it again tomorrow. If you don't stop me from myself, I'm going to do it again tomorrow. You got to lean on Him.
Amen.
Because God is the God of the second chance, but you still got to depend on Him for that second chance. Just like you depended on Him to save you,
yeah,
you have got to depend on Him to get you through day by day. You need to understand, young people, not only that, but you know, you also need to make sure that you understand that you are giving yourself over to lusts and vile corruptions of the flesh. You've got to avoid that stuff. God is the God of the second chance. That is a good thing to know.
Amen.
That God is the God of the second chance. And I used to be able to preach when I started preaching 18 years ago. Listen, boys, don't touch the girls. And they say, amen. Or someone say, oh man. But anyway, girls, don't touch the boys. But hey, you listen to me now and you hear me well. And I meant to open this sermon by saying this to you. I meant to say, listen, I'm going to yell a lot tonight. But I'm not yelling at you. I'm trying to keep you alive and warn you. Do you understand that thing? Okay? I'm not mad at you. I'm not in the flesh. I'm trying to warn you. Look, when I was a little boy, I was 4 years old, standing on the street corner at the busiest street in our town. And for some stupid reason, at 4 years old, my mom and I were getting ready to cross the street. And I just let go of her hand at 4 years old, and I just started trucking across the street. And all of a sudden, this car goes, I heard my mother yell louder than I ever heard in my life. She just went, Jerome! And this guy's car, I just stood there looking at the clock. I mean, I was 4 years old. I was about that tall. But man, I just stand there 4 years. My mother came running out. She screamed her own. She grabbed me. She pulled me. Don't you ever do that again.
I will never do that again.
Don't do it.
Never.
I was playing ping pong. My point is simply this. When my mother yelled at me, she was trying to help me.
Amen.
So when I'm yelling at you during the sermon, I'm trying to keep some of you awake. And I'm trying to get through to the rest of you that are listening. Amen? And so, I want you to know that the devil is working your bodies over and working your minds over and empty. Look up here now. MTV is working you over. You know, you used to have to preach against boys and girls and boys. But listen to me, we live in 2006.
Yeah.
I got to do this, man.
Yeah.
We live in 2006. I've always wanted to be tall. We live in a day and an age where at your age, we got to start warning you people, hey, listen, don't just watch out for the boys, girls. Don't just watch out for the girls, boys. You look out for them sodomite perverts.
Yeah!
Amen.
You watch out. That's an abomination.
Amen.
It pollutes the land, and God hates it.
Amen.
You say, you hate it. You're mean. You're ugly. You're unkind. No, I'm not. That's something they do that's unclean and unnatural.
Amen.
And unholy.
Amen.
You say, you're just a prejudiced bigot. No, I'm not.
Amen.
Man, do you see the people in my church? I got people that are Asian. I got people that are black. I got people from Eastern Europe. I got people from Western Europe. I even got an American family in my church, believe it or not. One, but they're there. My point is this. Hey, God made people yellow. God made people brown. God made people black. God made people Asian. God made people white. God didn't make those people that way. They were recruited.
Amen.
And they're looking for you. And little girls in high school, you watch other girls in school. And boys, you watch out for them pervert sodomite type boys in school. That stuff's not of God. It pollutes the land. Listen to me. Some of you, I don't even want to know. But I guarantee you there are young people that are involved in sexual immorality, heterosexual normal, sexual immorality, abnormal sodomy, unclean sodomy, and lesbianism, etc. like that. But you look at me, you listen to me, you hear me, and hear me well, because I stand for God. And God is the God of the second chance. And if you've been involved in that, you need to get saved.
Yes.
And if you are saved and you've been involved in that, you need to beg God to forgive you. And remember, God is the God of the second chance.
Amen.
God will forgive if you'll let Him. He'll let you.
Amen.
He will forgive you. And God can bless you. And God can use your life. And you say, I've blown it. I've just ruined my life. I've blown it. No. Don't you listen to the devil anymore. Say amen.
Amen.
You can't come back because God is the God of the same chance. Now, let me tell you about my story. It's terrible.
It's a lot of lasagna.
It ain't easy getting fat. Man, I tell you.
Pray for me. All right, I'm fucking with it.
Okay, all right. Listen now, I'll tell you, I told you before. When I was young, I ruined my life. Lived like a savage. Do you understand me? Like a savage. But God saved me.
Amen.
And then I met a girl about 15 years old girl. Pretty. As time went on, we kind of talked, we met, etc., da 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 da. We started dating, you know, da da. We started praying and stuff, hanging around together. We were at school, da da da. We talked, and one day I asked her. I says, "Well, will you marry me?" And that's what she said.
Nah, just kidding.
She said yes, but let me tell you this. I looked at her and I said, "Listen." I said to her, "I said, listen. I have ruined my life. I have morally bankrupted my life." I said, "But God saved me." And I said, if we're going to do this, we are going to do this God's way.
Amen.
Not Pittman's way, because I'll mess things up. And when we got engaged, and I, I gave her a ring. I stopped eating lunch. I saved my lunch money. Talk about saving your lunch money, man. Woo! A long time saved my lunch money. I gave her an engagement ring. We started hanging around together a little more regular at school. We'd have dates, but we never were alone.
Amen.
And you know what? I said to her, I said, we're going to do this God's way. And I said, guess what? If we're going to get married, we're not holding hands. No matter how bad I messed up my life before, I said, we are not going to hold hands.
Amen.
Amen. And that was for God's glory, not my bragging. And that's for your benefit.
Amen.
That's God's plan.
Amen.
That's God's plan. And I said, when we sit in church,
forgive me, Kyle.
But I said, when we sit in church, there's a hymnal between us. There's a hymnal between us. And we were engaged! She was going to be...
This is the wrong person. It was so exciting.
But we had the hymnal between us when we sat in church.
Amen.
I said, if we're going to get married, we're going to make God happy.
Amen.
Say, you already thought yes, I did, but I was going to do it right because I served the God a second chance.
Amen.
So we kept the hymnal between us, and the first day we held hands, and the first day that we kissed,
Amen.
The day that we got married.
Hallelujah.
What's wrong with you?
Nothing.
Right. Nothing. It's right. It's Jesus. It's the Bible. That's God's plan for every single one of you boys and girls.
Amen.
I'm so sick of the world saying, listen, what you want to do, my boy, is you go find yourself a dirty girl and then you go and marry yourself a nice girl. That's not God's plan. Ronnie, what I said was, what you do, in Northern Ireland, what you do is you find a dirty girl and then you marry a nice girl. Hey, that's what brought us away in the colony and everybody else. But that ain't God's way. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
And so you know what you need to do is you need to receive the gift of a forgiveness for a second chance with God, because God will use you and God can use you.
Yeah.
God will forgive you. Here's the problem, though. A lot of us, after we're saved, remind me to burn this shirt after church. The problem, I'm not spending the rest of this sermon behind the pulpit. It's going to drive me insane. Woman, you bought this, you throw it away. Say amen. All right. Rick Warren, eat your heart out, right? Okay. Well, anyway, all right. We said, well, I blew it, I've blown it, I've ruined it. You know what? The problem is this, kids. You listen to me. Here's what you think. You learned this Joseph story all week long. But Wally, here's the difference. Joseph's brothers picked him up and threw him in the pit. The problem with a lot of saved carnal Christians is we're standing over the cesspit and nobody's behind us and we're jumping right in the middle.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
That's the truth, man. That's the truth. God's people in this room are diving in the filth, but God is the God of the second chance. And I want you to know that God will forgive a saved person and can use a saved person and will bless a saved person that will get right with God. All right. So number one is you need to receive the gift of forgiveness for salvation. You need to receive the gift of forgiveness for a second chance in your Christian life. Number three is you need to not only receive the gift of forgiveness. Hear me out. Watch this. We're changing gears now. You need to give the gift of forgiveness. Receive forgiveness from God. Salvation, second chance. Give the gift of forgiveness to people. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. You need to give the gift of forgiveness. Give it to other people. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, look at verse 18, and the Bible says, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Christ, Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean to me? I live in Dublin, I live in Cork, I live in Lima Valley, I live in this island. What does it mean that God saved me and has given me the ministry of reconciliation? You want to know what that means real simply? Tell people about Jesus. Tell people about Jesus. That's all that means, simply like that. Let me ask you a couple questions. Who have you won to the Lord? Sit up straight in the back there. Sit up straight. Stay awake. We'll be preaching. It's the last night. Sit up straight. Sit up straight. Sit up straight. It's the young ones, but hang tough. Youngest kid in the room's mine, and you better stay awake. All right?
He is. All right.
Who have you personally won to the Lord?
Say, I don't know how to do that, Pastor Pittman.
I don't know how to do that, Pastor Pittman.
Doesn't matter what your voice depth is. Hey, if you can't win them, if you're in my church, bring them to me, and I'll get somebody who can win them in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. You can do that. Who have you won to the Lord? Who have you brought to church to get saved? Today was a great day.
Amen.
Where is he? Where's your man? Eli, stand up. Look at me, buddy. Can you tell me what happened when you and I and Liam were in the building today? Amen.
Yeah.
Eli, it's the best thing that ever happened to you or ever will happen to you. And Eli, that's the best thing that happened at camp this week, too. Plus Josh. The best thing that ever happened is when kids get saved.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, let me keep preaching. Now, what I want you to know is, who have you told? You said, Pastor Pittman? That's Pastor Ledbetter's job. That's Pastor Perrell's job. That's Pastor Ronnie Smith's job. That is not my job. Yes, it is, young people. Hey, did you notice who my soul winning partner was today? It was Liam and I were together showing Eli the verses. And you know what Eli told me without being prompted? He said, Pastor Pittman. No, he didn't say that. He said,
Pastor Pittman.
How many days? 2 days or 3 days?
3 days he's saying, God, I need to get saved. I should get saved. I need to get saved. I should get saved.
And he told Liam. Liam said, we need to go talk to my dad.
Amen.
We need to go talk to my dad.
Praise God.
And now Liam didn't tell me that. Eli told me that. You get that thing? Eli told me that Liam was witnessing and encouraging him to get saved so he wouldn't die alone.
Amen.
You're never too young to get started on the work.
Amen.
You're too backslidden, too lazy,
or some other two, I don't know. For those who will work.
You've got to start witnessing people, telling people about Christ. Stop it. Quit, settle down in the back there. Now, if you have regularly, it's not the old people's jobs. If you regularly go Tuesday or Wednesday or Saturday, your church has a soul winning program, and you basically regularly go, I want you to stand up. I know my people do. We got people that go. I want you to stand up if you go. You don't go on Saturdays? No, you don't go. You don't
go on Saturdays.
Who goes soul winning at the church regularly on a regular basis? Okay? All right. This room should be filled with people that go on Saturday. My wife goes as well during the week. She can't go on Saturdays. She's got her hand up. She's holding a baby. You should go. Liam and I go sometimes. Bridget and I go sometimes. I've led people to Christ with all three of the older children. These folks, stop talking. Just stop talking for now. It's all right. These folks are telling people about Christ. Who are you telling? Who are you telling? It's the minority that's always doing the majority of the work.
Yeah.
Who are you telling? God has got a second chance. You sit down, folks. God bless you. I thank God for people who tell people about Christ. Hey, Sylvia, aren't you glad somebody came knocking on your door? Amen?
I am.
I'm glad somebody did. You need to give the gift of forgiveness to other people to tell them that Jesus can forgive them, that Jesus will forgive them, that Jesus can bless them and save them. And you know what? It is hard to forgive, to give the gift of forgiveness for salvation. But you know what else? You not only need to give it, give the gospel to people, give the gospel to people so they get forgiveness from God. But you know what you need to do? You need to give some people in your life the gift. Now listen, follow or you won't catch this. You need to give some people in your life the gift of forgiveness. Now listen, for a second chance in your life.
Amen.
The gift of forgiveness for a second chance in your life. I see it already.
I don't get it. I'll explain.
What do I mean? When I was a little boy, I told you about my mother a few minutes ago. When I was 4 and 5 years old, my happiest memories as a very small child, that was about that big, was spending time in the summer with my mother. She'd go down the beach at 8 o'clock in the morning. We'd go down the far end. We'd go to the beach with her and her friends.
I was dig sand shovels. We'd go swimming. She'd teach me to swim in the summer, teach me to ice skate in the winter. And at the end of the summer days, I'd take a hot shower, and I'd get on my footy pajamas, and, I'd get in bed. She'd read me a story. I remember she put a gold star on it when I could read the pages of the story. I remember all this when I was real little. And I always like to snuggle up in her bed, sleep in her bed as much as I could. Now, look up here. Don't mind them people driving around. There's always distractions. Dave, you praying for distractions, brother?
Amen.
I knew you would. All right, praying against them. Now, listen. But you know what? The happiest memories I would snuggle up with my mom and go to sleep at night. But you know what would happen a lot about 2 or 3 in the morning? Door come kicking wide open about 2 or 3 in the morning. Boom! Opens up the bedroom door. What the blanket are you doing? You blanket, stupid blanket, dirt blanket. Now you know why I'm such an angry man. You blanket, no good woman. And all of a sudden she'd start screaming and my dad would come in. He'd be drunk as a skunk off his mind. Hey, bless God, there ain't nothing ever good came out of liquor.
Amen. Whiskey's of the devil.
Amen. Amen. I'll say it all night if you know. Whiskey's of the devil. Amen. And you know what? You know the wickedest person, the most answerable person for this island is going to be? It's not going to be the Pope. It's not going to be the Paisley. The wickedest person that's going to answer for the destruction of this country is the Guinness family. They're the devil.
Amen.
They're the devil. Maybe you don't think they are. I'm telling you, they're going to answer for generations. They're wicked, wicked people.
Amen.
God, spare those wicked people on Judgment Day. Poison they pour down these people's throats. By choice. By choice they take it, but they make it. They make it. They make money on children being beat. They make money on children being raped. They make money on that trash. Rotted potato peels. That's another sermon. Anyway, all right, that's what it's made out of. But we'll keep moving. And my father come in drunk and start smacking around. I'd go under the bed. I'd hide under the bed. And I'd just cry and pray that it would go away. And my mother would tell him to go. And then he would stop and he would pass out and fall asleep. And then she'd put me in my bed and he used to hit her. And he'd hit her good. And my father came in. My mother told me years later. My brother told me it was true as well. My father came in the middle of the night. He took a towel. And he wrapped a gun around it. And he put it to my mother's head in the middle of the night. She was sound asleep in one of the drunken stupors. He even admitted to her years later. He was ready to blow my mother's brains out. She wasn't saved at this point. I hated that man. I hated him. I hated his guts. That's how I am. I get mad just thinking about it. I hated my father. What he did to my mother, he beat my brother. He beat me. He'd take an electrical cord like this one and just start whacking my brother across the face. My father was a very powerful man. He was a physical laborer. He worked with his back all day long and he drank all night. There was beer in the fridge and no food in the fridge. And I hated my father. And he would abuse us and beat us and hurt us. And I hated him and I grew up. I grew up hating my father. I have his name. I hated my name, Jerome. I don't like my name now because it's associated with the Alexandrian Bible, but that's for a few of you to laugh at right now. Jerome's Vulgate and all that. But I hated it because it was his name. I hated everything he did and everything he stood for, and I hated him. And so I went in the military because, you know why? Because he was a draft dodger. That's why I went in the military. Just to be the opposite of him. I hated him. Hated him. And so God saved me and forgave me of hating him, but I still hated him. Yeah. And the only phone number, I traveled all over the world in the military. All over the world in the military. And the only phone number I ever had for my father was always the same phone number. It was a phone number, and I'd ring the phone and I'd say, hello, I'd say, is Jerry Pittman there? And you know how they answer the phone? It was a pay phone. Flanagan's Irish Pub! Flanagan's Irish Pub! Is Jerry there? Hey, Jerry, phone! Hey, who's this? I don't know. Hi, Dad. Who's this? Oh, great. Here we go. It's a 50-50 chance I only had one brother, right? Who's this? It's me, your son, Jerome. Oh, hey, how you doing? Where you at? I'm in Okinawa. I'm in North Carolina or wherever I was in the Philippines. I'm in Colorado. I hated that guy. Man, I hated that guy. But you know what God did? God broke my heart. And some of you have people in your life you hate. You don't know what they did to me when I was little. You don't know what they did to my body, you might be saying to yourself. You don't know how bad they beat me up, you might be thinking.
I just told you what he did to my mother. What would you do if I came in kicking and beating your mother up? What would you think of me? What would you do if I came in the house kicking and beating your mother up? You'd want to kill me, right? Sure, that's normal. Hey, you're supposed to defend and protect your family. Yeah. You understand that thing? You're supposed to stick together. I hate this brother and sister. Get away from me, man. I'm with my evil satanic friends. Get away from me. I hate that stuff, man. Hey, that's your sister, man.
Amen.
That's your father.
Yes.
Amen.
It's your family. You don't know what they did to me, Pastor Pittman. I hate them. They left me. I never even knew my father. People fall apart. They talk about their life. Hey, you know what? God is the God of the second chance. And you know what? I had to get to the place where I had to, if I was ever going to be right with God, I had to get over that thing. Amen. I had to get on with that thing. Amen. I had to forgive. Do you understand? Amen. I had to learn to forgive the man who beat my mother and starved us with booze and no food in the fridge. I had to learn to forgive. And I call him and say, listen, hey, Dad.
Yeah, what's up?
I got saved. What the blank blank? What are you talking about? You got religion? I said, Dad, I got saved. You got to get saved. Oh, come on, that's not me. Hey, man, look. And I had to start saying words I didn't want to say. Dad, I love you, and I'm praying for you. Now, I hated every single thing about him. Do you understand that thing? But I could love his soul.
Yeah.
And pray that he wouldn't go to hell. Do you understand that thing? That guy beat my mother. He drugged her and put her in a mental institution. My mother was a brilliant woman. She has a very IQ, high IQ. She can fly an airplane. She's a registered nurse. My mother's a very intelligent person. My father was a dropout. And he got drugged her and put her in a mental institution to get rid of her. I hated him. But I said, Dad, listen. You gotta get saved. Yeah. You're gonna go to hell and burn forever if you don't get saved. You're gonna burn. He said, look, I don't believe that stuff. I said, listen then, you know what I'm gonna do? I was in Bible college now. I said, I'm gonna pray. And I asked all the guys at the Bible college to pray for you that God won't let you sleep. And God will show you hell.
Amen.
Until you get saved.
Amen.
All of a sudden, I get a call months and months later, 9 o'clock at night, the dorm. Hello? Yeah. Hey, Jerome, it's your dad.
Yeah.
He never calls me. Never. Hello? He says, you remember you telling me about that going to hell stuff? Mm. Getting saved stuff? I said, yeah. He said, I can't sleep at night.
Amen.
I'm going to hell.
Amen.
He says, can you tell me how to get saved? I said, yeah, I can tell. I led my father Christ over the phone.
Amen.
And I hated the man that beat my mother. And my father got baptized.
Amen.
In a Baptist church, an independent fundamental King James soul winning Bible believing Baptist church. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then not long after he got baptized, he got cancer and he died and he went home to be with the Lord.
Amen.
And I hated him, but I had to get over that thing. And I had to let God forgive me. And my kids have never heard half of the stuff I just told you about my dad. As far as they knew, he was just fat, happy, bald grandpa. He was just me, but twice as wide. And a little bit more balder. I have much more strikingly handsome hair. But my father was just Grandpa Pittman. And they didn't know Big Daddy Jerry Pittman that beat everybody that in Irish Flanagan's pub that beat my mother after death. But I had to forgive him. My mother still needs to forgive him. She can't get over it. But I don't blame her. But God is the God of the second chance, and I didn't want him to get saved. But I am glad that he got saved. Some of you people, look at me now. You have got to get over the bitterness. You have got to get over the hatred. And I know there are some that I know this deals with, but I guarantee you there's a lot more in this room. You have got to get beyond hating and being bitter towards your parents, towards your family, towards whoever did wrong things to you when you were young, whatever it may be. You've got to become the person that gives the forgiveness for a second chance. Now we're going to look at two more Bible verses. Go to James. Go to James. James. James chapter 5. Hebrews, James. James chapter 5. Look at verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. Let me read two verses to you. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be, say that word,
healed.
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you want to be righteous and you want to have a powerful prayer life, you may need to do some confessing of your faults one to another and get it right so that they can pray for one another. I'm just going to read that one verse. I want to talk to you a little bit here for a minute. Make sure my shirt's buttoned before I move, okay? Back in December in our church, we had a lot of problems. Look up here, kids. Pay attention. We had a lot of problems going on. People had attitudes towards each other. People had tension with each other. People were talking, backbiting, gossiping about one another. They were biting and devouring spiritually one another. And I said, I've had enough of this. It was like, I can't handle this. This has got to stop. So after services, we taught on Revelation. We got in a big circle, and I looked at them people. And I said to them, I said, you people, look, I know it starts with me. I accept it. But I said to them, you people are tearing each other apart. You're supposed to be a family. Look up here, please. Look up here, please. You're supposed to be a family. You're supposed to be a church family. You're supposed to be loving each other even more than your lost relative. I believe that.
Yes, sir.
I believe that. Who is my mother? Who is my father? They that do the will of God.
Yes.
And so I said to them, I said, look, we have got to get this stuff right. Look up here, please. Over here. Look up here, please. We have got to make it right with each other. And we sat in a circle that night. People started saying, yeah, I've been talking bad about people in this room and this room. Yes, I've been hurting this church with my carnal lifestyle. Now, does that get your sins right with God? No, but it says confess your faults one another. I haven't been the church member that I needed to be. Now, remember the one thing that cracked this thing open? I started it. I said, look, I know I'm not as organized as I need to be. I'm trying to be the pastor for everybody I need to be. I've got people that are backslidden. I've got people that are suicidal. I've got people that have marital problems. I'm sorry. Forgive me for my failures. I said. But then all of a sudden, we went around the room. People started confessing. It started moving. Look up here. Attention. I remember one testimony. One person said, I haven't been right with God for a good long time. I'm angry at God. I'm bitter at God. Please pray for me. Do you understand that hurts the body? It hurts the body of Jesus Christ. And I believe that was a turning point for some of us in our church.
Amen.
It was like revival broke out there.
Amen.
It was amazing. I thank God and I praise God for people that would say, I need you to pray for me in this area. I need to get this right. I thank God Deirdre's here with us tonight.
Amen.
That was her testimony.
Praise God.
That was her testimony. I'm angry at God. I'm bitter at God. Pray for me.
Praise the Lord.
I haven't seen her stop smiling all week.
Amen.
God is the God of the second chance.
That's right.
In Deirdre's life. And forgiveness can come. You will allow it, but you've got to allow God to do this. Except that I pay for 10 months later. We need to do business tonight. Some of you people that are saved, you need to get some things right tonight. You need to go to your father. You need to go to your mother, maybe. You need to go to a Christian friend in this room. You need to get some things right with people.
stop hurting the church. Not only that, some folks in here, you need to really get saved. Now, we're going to give you the opportunity to do both of those tonight, right now. I want every head bowed.
And every eye closed.
No one's looking around. No one's looking around at this time. No one's looking around.
Remember Joseph's life, and I was going to show you one more verse, but I'm not. Joseph's brothers sold him away, but at the end, Joseph said, what man meant for evil, God meant for good. My question tonight is, first of all, no one looking around. Don't let the devil make you afraid. Don't let the devil make you embarrassed, please. How many of you say, Pastor Pittman, I'm not sure I'm saved. I think I might be saved, but I don't know for sure if I'm saved. But the Holy Ghost of God has spoken to me. I need prayer in this area. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pastor Pittman, would you pray for me? Would you put your hand up and I'll pray for you? Does anyone say, yes, ma'am. God bless you. Yes, sir. Keep your hands up. Keep them up straight right now. No one looking around. Keep them. If God's dealt with you, put your hands straight in there. Don't be afraid.
Amen.
Keep it up. Keep your hand open so I can see it. Don't be curled up. Keep it straight. If God has spoken to you, no one is looking around. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up just for a moment. I need Pastor Ledbetter. I need a few workers to open their eyes. Keep your hands up. Keep them up. Don't let the devil embarrass you. I need you folks. We need to talk to these people. Now we could have them. If God dealt with you, I want you to just stand up right now. If your hand's raised and you know you need to talk to someone, stand up please. If you raise your hand and you need to talk to someone, stand up. Don't. That's right. God bless you. Yes, sir. God bless you. You folks, no one else is looking around. Let them out. They need to come out right now. They need to talk to someone. They need to come out. You come out in the middle. These folks, you go to your own pastor, your own counselor. You go back towards the back. Somebody's going to show you and talk to you for just a minute. Good job. Okay. If you're not sure, just make sure God spoke to you and you need to go. I need a few folks to stay. I need a few folks. Go ahead. I need some, a few, just a couple to stay. All right? Just one or two. Okay. All right. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now, what you're telling me, please, folks, stop squiggling and worming. We want God to speak. I want God to speak to you. The only eyes that should be the workers who are praying and the man who's speaking. That's me. Have you, maybe in your heart, you have really blown it. I mean, you've royally messed up your life. Before and sometimes even after you were truly saved. And you know there was something that popped into your heart, flashed in your mind, that God kind of just did what I can't do. He said, remember this? See this? And you know you've blown it with God and you need to just talk to someone, counsel with somebody, a lady with a lady, a fellow with a fellow. You need to talk to someone tonight. You say, I've got to have a little bit of human help so I can get right with God. Someone to show me the way. I am saved, but I need a second chance with someone to talk to me. Would you raise your hand and say, I need help in that area? Yes, sir. God bless you. Yes, sir. God bless you. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? You young man. No one's looking around for privacy's sake. Don't close your eyes. If God spoke to you, raise your hand. You need help in that area to speak to someone. All right. Just anyone else. All right. You may put your hands down for just a moment. We'll get someone to speak to you folks in just a minute. And the last thing I want to ask you tonight is there are some folks here, maybe, that you need to confess your faults. You're saved. You need to get some things right with some people. Whether the people are here with us, or maybe they're at your house. You need to get a few things right so that you can make it right with them and forgive them. It was not easy to forgive my dad. It was not easy to change and learn to actually say, I love you, but you're the one that will lose as a Christian. How many of you say, Pastor Pittman, God spoke to me. I've got to get it right. I'm going to raise my hand, but I need to talk to either a friend, a family member, someone here, or someone back home. I need to deal with them. Would you just remember me in prayer that I won't chicken out? I won't chicken out. Would you raise your hand and say, God spoke to me. Anyone? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. God bless you. Yes, sir, in the back. Yes, sir, in the way back. Keep your hand up for just a moment. You said, I've got to do this. I can't chicken out. Keep your hand up. Now I'm going to pray for you who have your hand up. Keep your hand up. Father, these folks don't need to do business with me. They need to do business with you. And there's someone in their mind, in their heart right now that you put there. They said, I've got to admit something. I've got to forgive them. I've got to do something and say something to that person. God, give, now say this in your heart. God, give me the strength and the courage to talk to that person. You just say that in your heart right now. If God's dealt with you in that, just say, God, give me the strength and the courage to do that. Say that right now. All right, God bless you. You may put your hands down at this time. Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you for the honest Christians. I thank you for the two who raised their hand that said, I needed to talk to somebody tonight. Can I just see those two hands? I know one of them. I just need to remember the other young fellow said, I need to get some... I need to speak with someone to get a second chance with God, not with somebody at home or something like that. Who are the men who raised their hand? Could you raise your hand again? Yes, sir. I know the one over there. Is there the other fellow who raised their hand? All right. You two gentlemen, put your hands down. Father, I pray for these two men that somebody would sit down with them and counsel them and do business with them and guide them in the right direction and give them the footsteps to go the right way and that God would deal with them. I want no one, every head bowed, every eye closed.
Are you free to deal with somebody?
Yeah.
Can I get you to deal with somebody? If you just raise your hand the second time I ask you, just open your eyes, just look at me. I want you to go back. No. If you raise your hand, you need to talk to someone tonight. Look at me right now. If you raise your hand, you need to talk to someone. I want you to go right there. Right behind you. Yes, sir. All right, first one. Okay? All right, tonight, guys. All right. Okay, let's pray. God, protect now. Holy Spirit, convict now, please. God, I beg you. I'm no one asked you anything, but I'm begging you because you told me to ask. Give the power of the Holy Spirit to those who are witnessing to the lost. Give the lost the Holy Ghost conviction that they need. Lord Jesus, save them according to the precious words that you've given us, God. Let it be a night of great victory and not just decisions, God, but eternal salvation. Yes, amen. Amen. All right, look at me for just a minute.
Folks.
Go.
It's always the preacher's daughters, isn't it? All right. God's been good. Amen? I know you're tired, but listen. Hey, folks. There are people being dealt with. A lot of people went out to get saved, and they need to get saved. And you need to be thinking about them and praying for them in your heart right now that they will get saved. All right? You need to be doing that. So you remember to keep praying for them and keep thinking about them. And just let God do a good work in those hearts of the people that are being dealt with about getting right as well. And let it be a life-changing thing for them as well. All right. Okay. I'm not sure what we should do now. What's that? Yeah, I thought about that, but you know I'm a terrible singer. I need someone who can lead songs and Declan's gone. John, lead us in a few songs. You're a good singer, guy. Sorry?
Yep.
I don't care, whatever, anything. See? Anything from that we've been singing all week.
I just like to say,
I guess.